question for, well, not so much a question. My brethren here are going to tell me the first thing that comes into your mind. The first word. You don't need to finish the verse for me. Just tell me the first word that comes into your mind. And don't wait. I've learned a few names, because if you wait more than about 3 seconds, you're going to get called on. Okay? Justified by? Well, we have some women that are waiting to speak up, aren't we? Brethren, we need to wake up. I remember one time in El Salvador, and the work was in Santa Tecla. It was a new work. Things were just getting going. There's a few brethren. We had prayer meeting. And we're sitting there. There's 4 or 5 brethren. No one's getting up. Nobody's praying. There was a visiting lady from the community. She'd probably been to many churches. Next thing you know, she's up and had a great prayer. And at the end, Jack said, "Amen." You know what? There was never, in the rest of that meeting, there wasn't but 2 seconds of pauses. And those men were up and at it. So, you know, sometimes it's okay. It's not the recommended, mind you. But, you know, sometimes you just have to put up with certain things. Justified by faith. That is the first thing that comes into our minds when we think of justification. But now we're going to go over to James, and you already know where we're going with this. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And we're going to read from verse 14 on. Boy, when there was a popsicle being given out, I could find the book of Micah, but now that I'm standing up here, I can't find James. James chapter 2, and we will read from verse 14. James 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say, he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yes, a man may say, thou hast faith. Faith, I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. If this was the only scripture we had, we would run into a lot of problems. But fortunately, this is not. And one of the things that difficulties that we run into in El Salvador, and maybe elsewhere as well, is the lack of works in the lives of Christians. And partially, it's our fault. We've already been reminded, we've been read there in Revelations 2 and 2, I know thy works. Because when we preach the gospel, and rightly so, we preach that salvation or justification is by grace alone. We are saved not of works. I don't know if there's a gospel meeting that goes by when somebody does not bring out the verse in Isaiah that the best that we can do, all our works are filthy rags before God. So we talk about the uselessness of works. And unfortunately, we have produced a generation of Christians who are saved by grace alone and figure, you know, works, that was in the past. Works, when I was a Catholic, I really had to work. When I was this, I had to work. But now that I'm a Christian, no more works for me. Well, we have noticed that works play a very important part in a Christian's life. If a Christian, and that's what we're going to see here in James, if I don't have good works, most likely, I am not of His. Because the two go together. You cannot separate. Faith and works. One without the other is dead. That is what we have read. It's interesting that when we think of the word justification, and we're not going to go into necessarily the meaning of the word, set right before God is probably or cleared of all guilt is probably the simplest form of the word. But there are at least six, and these aren't my six, these are six that I came across in a commentary, and yet they stood out. Six different aspects, you might say, or different phrases that we have of justified by something. And like I said, we threw out the question and most of us, although we didn't want to speak up, in our minds we had justified by faith. We won't take time to read them. If you want to jot them down, you will do yourself good unless you already have them committed to memory. But Romans 3 and 24, we read this phrase, justified by grace. Grace. We've been reminded a little bit by Brother Dave of the word, the meaning of grace. And I think, could be right, correct me if I'm wrong, but the idea here is we have been justified. It's by grace. It is something that you and I do not deserve. It is something that we have not worked for. But God in His grace has justified us. Justified by grace. Next time somebody throws out the question, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you say justified by? Say grace. You'll probably throw them off. Romans 3 and 24. Justified by grace. This, we could say, is the basis of our justification. Ephesians 2 and 8. We are saved by grace, not of works. Titus 2 and 11 will tell us that when... I better read it. If somebody wants to... say it, save me from reading it. Titus 2 and 11. Well, I'll just have to read it. Titus 2 and 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So, some might say, well, isn't it great? The grace of God is so wonderful and so amazing that has appeared to all men. And some will go as far to say, all men will be saved. Because God's grace is efficient. It is true. God's grace is efficient. God's grace is not limited. But will all men be saved? Unfortunately not. Why? Because we come to Romans 5 and 1. The verse that comes to mind when we think of justified by. And there we have justified by faith. This is the human response. The grace of God has appeared. But now my responsibility is to believe that there was one who came from heaven above that died at Calvary, shed His blood, has paid the price for my justification. If I don't believe that, I will never be justified. We have justified by faith. This is the means by which we are justified. Romans 5 and 9, we read we are justified by His blood. The price paid. As you start looking at these, you can't ignore any one of them. We can't ignore the fact of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without grace, where would any of us be? What about the price paid? Justified by blood. We must never forget the price that was paid for our redemption, for our justification, not with corruptible things, such as silver and gold. It's not that silver and gold are necessarily corruptible in the sense of those are things in this world that are most valued. But when we compare them to the price that was paid for our redemption, they're worthless. They have no value. We have been bought with a price of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are, Romans 5 and 9, justified by His blood. Romans 8 and 33, we read that it is God that justifies. We think of salvation. It is of the Lord. Apart from God, no one can be saved. It's interesting as you read through the writings of Paul, how many times he would remind us, God, our Savior. God is the one who had the plan of salvation. He put the plan into action. God sent His Son. God alone can save. And here we have justified, or God that justifies. Romans 4 and 25, we have another reference there to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. By the same power which God raised His Son from the dead, with that same power, we have been justified. And then we come down to the verse that we read in James 2 and 24, and it reads that we are justified by works. Which one of these six can we throw out? Which one of these six have no value? Can we throw out the blood? Oh, many try to, and they don't like to mention the blood of Christ. We don't want to, well, throw out grace, throw out faith, throw out works. Well, yeah, because James, he was really out of place when he wrote that. No, James wasn't out of place when he wrote that. So we come to James chapter 2, and we'll look at it starting with verse 14. Remember the value of our works as Christians, right? They have no value to receive salvation. But as Christians, God has saved us so that we will manifest His glory in our works. Our works are the outward manifestation of our faith. And that is what we have the argument that James puts forth here. And we read in verse 14, what does it profit, James 2, 14, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith? Interesting that little word right there, say. He says he has faith. Have you ever met somebody that says they have a lot of stuff? You know, especially with kids, they always have to outdo the next one. You know, I have an iPod. Well, I have an iPhone. Well, I have a BlackBerry torch. Well, I have, but you know, show it to me. Let me see it. Well, no, my mom won't let me take it out of the house. You know, they say they have something, but they have nothing. And this is what James is putting forth here. He says, a man says, that's all he has. He has nothing but a profession. He says to have something. We see, as we read the verse 4 or verse 14, and it says at the end of the verse, can faith save him? Some, I think, have done well when they say, can that faith save him? Can you really be saved by faith alone? No. Not apart from the work of the cross. When you visit with different people of different religions, there's quite a few of them that have a lot more faith than we do. They have faith in idols. They have faith in a crucifix. They have faith in dorky things that they hang around their neck and they walk around holding them. And they have faith, and they have more faith than you and I. But they are lost. Faith alone does not save. It needs to be faith placed in the work of Christ. So James is putting forth a man who says, all I have is faith. He doesn't even have it. He just says he does. Can that faith save? Absolutely not. It's a struggle we have in Central America and in other parts of the world. People that have faith in different things. And you have to try to convince them that your faith is great, but it's placed in the wrong thing. It needs to be placed in a person, our Lord Jesus Christ. So that faith does not save. We come into verse 15 and 16. And there we have a illustration of the uselessness of words without action. Words, someone has said, are cheap. It doesn't cost anything to rattle off a whole bunch of stuff. You can talk all that you want, but where's the actions? You know, it's been said of some that their actions speak so loud that you can't hear a word they're saying. Huh? That would be maybe in a negative sense. Someone you're trying to evangelize, you're trying to tell someone about Christ, and yet your actions don't back up what you're saying. If that's your life, you're better off to not mention about Christ. But this is the other side of it. This is the idea that we are saved. We are Christians. So where are our works? There needs to be works that back up our actions. And here we have, we need to be actions that back up our faith. In verse 15 and 16, we'll read them again just so that we don't get sidetracked here. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needed for the body, what doth it profit? You know, we've been here for 2 days now. Every so often we get hungry. But there's food provided. What if the brother that gave the announcement said, well, I hope you enjoy a great meal. We'll meet back here in 2 hours. Just dig right in. Fill yourself. And you go downstairs and nobody there. There's no food. Well, we'd come back up and say, thank you, brother, for that great meal. That was really great. Thanks for... No, this is foolishness. Words without actions. They do nothing. And that is what James is trying to bring forth. We'll read a verse, 1 John. 1 John 3 and 17. One of the things you soon find out from not from speaking in a different language, your verse memorization, at least in English, goes down real quick. I try not to read my English Bible, not because anything against it, but everything, trying to learn Spanish language, even though I was raised in El Salvador, I struggle with it. So I try to do everything I can in Spanish, and then you get up here for a few weeks, and all of a sudden, you struggle with John 3:16. You wouldn't think you would, but it happens. Here we have 1 John 3, verse 17. 1 John 3, 17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth of his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. There we run into the word bowels again, if we were heard a little bit in our Bible study yesterday. If you're heartless, that's the idea. You're heartless. If all you have is words, we are to love, as it says here, in deed and in truth. So we go back to James chapter 2, and he comes back into verse 17. And he says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. We need to be careful, because verse 17 doesn't say that we are saved or justified by faith plus works. It's not saying that. It simply says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. In other words, faith and works have to go together. If you separate them, they're dead. Either one of them. Works, useless. Faith, useless. Faith and works. That is the reason God has saved us. So that we might show forth works. They can't be separated. True faith produces works. True faith produces works. When we think about the works, we think about works, we think about that if this is really the way that we are to express our faith, I ask myself the question, when was the last time that I showed my faith to someone? When's the last time you showed your faith to someone? Think about it. And well, how will you show your faith? We come down to verse 18. We come to find out that faith is invisible. Well, I can't show you my faith. Well, sure you can. You do it by your works. By your works. It's interesting sometimes the phrases that we use. And yeah, after being away for a few years, you come back and you pick up on different little phrases that sometimes you may not have in a different language. One of the things that we quite often say, and I want you to think about it. Even this morning, as we remember the Lord, we thought of, and the comment was made, we enter into thy presence. Wonderful, huh? To be in the presence of God. Where are we right now? Are we in His presence? Jeremy, I hope you get to the water slides tomorrow, but will you be in His presence there? Yeah? Yeah? We can't escape the presence of God. Sometimes we talk about, well, how's your assembly life going? How's your personal life going? How's your family life going? How many lives do I have? It's one. One life. Whether it's my in the family setting, it's in assembly setting, but it's one life. And no matter where I'm at, I'm in the presence of God, and He expects me to live a life of good works, showing forth what a Christian really is. Unfortunately, we live in a day, whether it's in Canada or across the way, North, South America, Central America, where just about everybody is professing to be a Christian. It's the end thing. There are sports players for, and you know, Christians. Well, maybe some of them are. But unfortunately, it's nothing more than a profession. No works. God expects of you and I works. We have verse 18. So we have another illustration of faith being invisible. You could say it's like the wind. Have you ever seen the wind? Can't see it. But we see the results of it. We see the results of it. Our faith is invisible. But the world is waiting to see the results of a true believer. God is waiting to see the works of a true believer. So, we see verse 18, it's impossible to show your faith without your works. Verse 19, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils, the demons, also believe and tremble. Where we reminded, I believe it was this morning, of the demons recognizing the authority and who Jesus Christ was and is. And they would tremble in His presence. They do well, James says. They do well in believing that God is one. But is that all that's expected of them? No. We do well in believing in God. We do well. But God expects of you and I works. Good works. Works that give value to the confession that we have made. We are children of God. We are told and we are instructed over and over to live like it. Follow your example. Our example, even though we have some examples mentioned here, our example isn't Rahab to follow in everything. It's not Abraham. It's not David. It's not all the great saints that have gone before us, our example is Jesus Christ. With our eyes, los ojos puestos en Él. Our eyes fixed on the Savior, the verse doesn't come to me. But you know, who we are to follow. That is our example. And here we have the faith in this man that James is putting forth is nothing more than intellectual knowledge. That's it. Titus again, and if you want to turn to it, be good. If not, just listen. We'll read Titus 2 and verse 14. One of the reasons for which God has saved us. Titus 2 and verse 14. Titus 2 and verse 14. Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. What have been my works for this day? Have I had any good works today? Yesterday? What about tomorrow? When we come back to James and we follow the verses down, verse 20, but wilt thou know, this phrase, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Why is he called a vain man? An empty man. Because all he has, so he says, is faith. That's it. Faith. That's it. Faith without works is dead. It profiteth nothing. So we see the responsibility that we have. Having been bought with a price, God is expecting good works. Like I said, we read there in Revelation 2. And all the good works that they had. And God knows their works. Our works one day, that is what will be placed before. And we will be rewarded for our works. We come down to verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? It's interesting that here Abraham, or that James brings forth this picture of Abraham when he is offering up his son Isaac. When Paul speaks of justification and how Abraham was justified, he goes back to Genesis 15, where Abraham believed God. He was justified. He was set right. His faith in God, not knowing, not understanding all that was before him, but he believed what God had said. And Paul says he was justified. We called a friend of God. Now James, he's thinking of the outward manifestation of that faith. 30 years later, we see Abraham taking his son Isaac up to that place to offer him as a sacrifice. His works. So James brings out that picture because he wants us to think of the works that Abraham had done. So we see that we are justified by believing God. But then there's a continuation. There needs to be works. What if Abraham would have refused? What if Abraham would have said, no, I'm not doing it. You say, well, what kind of a man of God would he have been? There had to be works. God expects us to do good works. It's interesting that Paul in Romans speaks of justification as declaring just or free from guilt the sinner before God. My position before God. Justified. Cleared of all guilt before God. James is thinking of my relationship before my brethren. before the world. And he, when James speaks of justification here, James speaks of justification as showing our faith before God and the world. Showing it. We need to show it. Men and women need to see what Christianity is all about. Good works. I'm not going to go into all the things that we could do. We know. We know what God expects of us. We know. We know the things that we need to be doing. The good works. And the opportunities are endless. When we come to the last verses that we read here, and, well, we'll, verse 24, we see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. He's not contradicting the rest of the scriptures. He is simply saying that if you are truly born again, if you are truly a man or a woman that says that you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, your life will show it. There will be good works. Your life will show what you publicly have confessed. Is my life showing it? We need good works. It's interesting, the examples that we have of Abraham and of Rahab. We could just notice here, just in a hurry, we have a Jew, we have a Gentile, we have man, we have a woman. You know, God expects the same from everyone. There's none of us that He has set a higher expectation for. He doesn't look at you and say, well, you know, I can understand you. I mean, I really can't expect much out of you. Now, this person, yeah, he needs to step up to the plate and, you know, no. On the same level. God expects the same from you as He does from me. We are justified by our works. May God give help. As we leave this conference, information has been poured into us like a funnel. It's been great. But what are we going to do with what we have heard, with what we have learned? We're going to go our separate ways. Trials will come. But God expects us to live above Him, to show good works so that men and women around us will see what it is to be a Christian. They will see something in us that they will want. They're not happy out there living the life they're living. They might think they're happy. But when they see in us the reality of being saved eternally and how it has changed our life for the better, they will want it. They will. May God help us that we might be recognized or known as a people of good works.